All right, thank you for that, Hannah. We are in John chapter number 15 today. This is the chapter that contains our verse that goes with our theme for the year, which is being disciples and making disciples. Our theme verse we read in John chapter 15, verse 5, that says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And so I want us to understand this concept of the fact that God works first in us before God can do anything through us. And God wants to work in each and every one of our lives. He wants us to be a disciple. A disciple is a Christian who is committed to God and committed to growing and being serious about their Christianity. And I think we ought to be really, you ought to be the kind of person that if you're doing something, you're all in on it, right? Anybody like that? It's like, look, if I'm playing Go Fish with our kids at home, I want to win, okay? We play Trouble, or the two games that irritate me are Trouble and Sorry. They're the ones where you get right to the very end and you've got one person left and all of a sudden they get kicked back to the beginning and next thing you know you're losing and it's like, I don't have time for that, kids. Go do something different, okay? But if I'm going to do something, I want to be 100% in on it. I don't want to be halfway about anything. Yeah. And I think too many of us sometimes, we get with that with our Christianity. We're very, very half-hearted about it if we're not careful. And it's very easy to do because there's so much that's going on in life. There's so much going on around us. It's really easy if we're not careful to let certain things creep in and we don't take things as seriously as we should. I don't think sometimes we really understand the concept of what it means to be a Christian. We have choices we had to make. We had to choose whether or not we would trust Christ and become a genuine, true believer. And when we trust Christ, that means we have a good eternity awaiting us. But if we would be someone that would reject Christ, eternity's not going to be so good. But once we accept Christ and we receive his gift of eternal life, to be honest with you, we have another decision we need to make. What type of Christian am I going to be? Am I really going to follow Christ? Am I going to strive to have a relationship with him and really be a true disciple? If I am, I will have evidences in my life that show that I am a real, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. But if I choose not to, I will ultimately suffer the consequences in my life. We have to see Christianity as more than just an eternal escape from hell card. It's not the game of Monopoly. And we need to see it more like it really is. It's a lifelong, living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ to be true to him. In the text in John chapter 15, this is the seventh of Jesus' I am statements. He made seven I am statements, and this is the last one. I am the true vine. Each of these were given in a sense so that we could get a mental picture of different aspects of Jesus Christ and different aspects of our relationship with him. And so he's given this one here, I am the true vine. He is speaking to his disciples, more probably it was after the Last Supper and as he is on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. So really, if you think about it, these are some of the, other than the Great Commission which he gave before he left the earth, these are some of the last instructions or words he has given to his disciples before he is to be arrested and he is to be crucified on the cross. On the cross. He is trying to teach them a vital eternal truth by using the analogy of a vine, branches, and the production of fruit. In this analogy, he's teaching one of the most important truths about how we can be true disciples. And when we're true disciples, we are truly being the Christians that God wants us to be. In this little analogy, there are three different and main characters. The first is God the Father. He is the husbandman. He is the one that is in charge, as it were, of the whole vineyard there, the place where the fruit would be grown. The second one is the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ. He is the one for which the third, the branches, they get their power from to develop fruit. He presents to us, being the branches, there's two purposes in our life. We're to abide with him, and we are to bear fruit. And we're going to look at that. As we look at this section of scripture over the next few weeks, we will look at many of these verses and see the details, how this all works, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and how it is all supposed to play out in our life. There are so many potential obstacles and stumbling blocks that we can come across in our life. There are so many things in our life that can keep us from simply having this type of relationship with Christ, which will really help us to be everything that he wants us to be. I hope that your desire is to really be a true, strong, dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not just one of these that says they are. Not just somebody that's just content with coming to church every now and then and going on our merry way, but we really honestly want to be a true follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. But if we're going to do that, we need to go back to the basics. The basics are very important. Sometimes we look at everything we're supposed to be doing in our Christian life, and we look at what God really wants to accomplish in our Christian life, and we get so caught up in that, we're not really understanding the fundamentals or the basics which are going to allow us to be able to accomplish anything in our own lives, in our families, our relationships, and everything we do. So we need to go back to the basics. The basics are very important. One time there was a young coach, and this was during the time when John Wood, many years ago, was the coach of UCLA, and they won, I believe, like 10 or 11 championships out of 12 years. They were dominating the sport. He was widely known as the best coach. And this coach wanted to come learn from him. So he went to their first practice of the year. And he's thinking, I'm going to go there. I'm going to learn some techniques. I'm going to learn how they do their drills. I'm going to learn the secrets to being a great coach. And that very first practice, John Wooden spent an hour and a half teaching the guys on his team how to put their socks on and how to put their shoes on. And the coach, and this new coach, the young coach thought, that what a waste of time. Because I thought I was going to learn some drills and how to do. And he's like, what is that all about? John Wooden said, that's a basic. Because if their feet hurt, they're not going to play very well. To spend that much time. Sometimes we try to do so much, we don't understand the true basics of what we really need to have in our life as Christians. And we're going to look at that this morning. There are three things we need to have in our life that must be true if we're going to be the Christian that he wants us to be. Three things we need to understand. First of all, we need to know the true vine. Look at verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In this analogy, God is the husbandman, the one who ultimately is over the whole vineyard. We'll look at that as another message. But the key is the vine, and the vine is Jesus Christ. If we don't have that relationship with him right, nothing else is going to work. We have to understand that. Our relationship with him is vital. What do we need to understand about the true vine? We need to understand that he's a person. He says, I am the true. Who is the true vine? It's Jesus Christ. If we're going to be the Christians we are supposed to be and accomplish what he wants to do in our life, we need to understand that we need to be attached to a person, Jesus Christ. This is about a relationship. Yes, there are doctrines that we must believe and we must understand. Yes, there really are requirements and a way of life that he's going to ask us to live. He did that with his disciples. He called each and every one of them to come and follow him while he was on this earth. We saw on a Thursday night, we're talking a little bit about what it means to be a true disciple and some of the requirements he has. But we saw that Jesus would have this huge crowd following him, and he would turn back to them and say, if you're truly going to be a follower, my disciple, you need to do this, this, and this. He wasn't enamored with the crowd. He wanted those that were committed to having a relationship with him personally. Now, how is Christianity going to work for you? Well, let me ask you, what kind of relationship do you have with him? That's what it's about. It's important that you come to church. I think it's very important to be in church. I think it's important to be faithful to as many services of the church as you can be. But can I just tell you something? That will never take the place of your relationship with him. It won't. You should have a Bible. I think every Christian ought to have a Bible that they read. But you know what? You can have a Bible and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Right. Fact of the matter is, most Christians have more than one Bible. It only takes one to read. I mean, don't take this negative. Sometimes people forget their Bibles at church and it's in the lost and found for months. Okay? That would concern me. If you get up on Sunday morning and you're like, where's my Bible? I knew I have it last Sunday. That should be a concern. But just owning a Bible is not going to make sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to meddle. Now we should give an offering plate. I hope you do. First of all, it's obedient to God. Second of all, it allows us to do the things we're supposed to do. But you could put $10,000 in the offering plate every single Sunday and still not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, that's not true. Okay, let's have an experiment. You do it for a couple months, okay? It's like, you can serve in a ministry. By the way, we got a lot. We got choir and orchestra and nursery and Sunday school. We got 100 different things. And you can serve in one of those ministries, and you should, but that doesn't mean you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, what happens is so often we are willing to substitute things for a relationship with Christ. There are people, I know there are, I see sometimes, they have stopped coming to church. They don't want to go to church, and yet they'll still give to the church because even though they don't want to come to church, they're like, I at least want God to bless my finances. Now, God doesn't want that. I hope they didn't hear that, okay? God, you know what God wants? He wants a relationship with you. He's a person. He's not a concept. Jesus Christ is real. You will never be the Christian God wants us to be and have the fruit in our life if we don't have a relationship with him. It's like marriages sometimes. You can be married and not have a close relationship with your spouse. You can have parents if you're children and not have a close relationship with your parents. Parents, you can have children and still not have a close relationship with him. But it's important. Understand this, Jesus Christ wants us to know him. He is the vine, and it's important that we have a relationship with him. Let me ask you, how much do you think about him? How much do you really strive to know who he is? And yes, spending time with the Word is really a big part of it. That's him speaking to us. And spending time in prayer, that's us speaking to him. And living our life with a realization that he is watching everything and he wants to be involved in our everyday decisions. But you have to understand something. He's the true vine and he is a person. But it's more than just being a person. He is also a position. I want you to notice the true word. So as I was looking through this, that word jumped out at me because I always, yes, he's the vine, we're the branches. But what's that word before the vine? He is the true vine. Huh. What does it mean by true vine? Well, it means that he's not just true in name, but in his nature. In other words, he is the only vine. That's his position. And if he says, I am the true vine, you know what that means? That means there are fake vines. There are false vines. Isn't that what happens to us? We don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ sometimes because we are caught up in other things that are taking that time, that are taking that energy, which really aren't true. Why would we waste not having a relationship with the God of heaven, the only one who can give us what we need to have the life that he wants us to have, and we tie ourselves up into other things which cannot really produce any spiritual fruit in our life? We accept false substitutes. We are falling for something that is not genuine. And we're going to end up paying for it. So what do we need to know if we're going to be true Christians? We have to know the true vine and have a relationship with the God of the Bible. And I say this often, and I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but it's absolutely true. So often we create a Jesus of our own making. We're not in the Bible. We don't know him personally. And so we mold him to be what we want him to be. We're basing our theology, what we believe, off of our morality, how we want to live. And so if I want to live a certain way, then my Jesus is okay with that. We don't have that choice. You know who the Jesus is we need to serve? You know who the true Jesus is? It's the one that's outlined by Scripture. And that's the one we need to follow. But we have to know the true vine. Then secondly, we have to be a true branch. Verse 2. That's a little heavy here. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, as we get on, we find out in our key verse there, we are the branches. But what type of branch are we? There are different branches mentioned here. If we understand that we are the branch, we also need to understand what type of branch are we going to be. In other words, what type of Christian are we going to be? By the way, whose choice is that? Ours. It's each of us on an individual level. So often we want to sit around and we want to blame people for where we are as a Christian. And fact of the matter is, we can't. Yeah, but this person did this or this happened to me. And I'm not saying sometimes people aren't knuckleheads. And I'm not saying sometimes people do things to try to throw us off track. But you know what? We don't have to let anybody throw us off track. If we get off track, it's because we have chosen to get off of track. But what type of branch are we going to be? He talks about the proof of the branch. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. And then he talks about the opposite, and every branch that beareth fruit. So, do you want to know the proof of what type of branch you are? Ask yourself this question. What kind of fruit are you seeing in your life? Now, what is fruit? Fruit is that which is produced in our life based on what type of branch we are. If you have some type of a tree in your backyard and it produces fruit, if it's producing good, clean, healthy fruit, that's because you have a good, clean, healthy tree. At our other house, years and years ago, we moved in. We had a prune tree in the backyard. It didn't do so well. And then our landscaper came in and said, well, I'll tell you why. That tree has died. That tree. So we cut it out. It was worthless. Look at your life. What is the fruit in your life? Now, fruit in our life is two things. One of the things is it's the people we're helping as a Christian, but let's set that to the side for right now. The other fruit is the characteristics and the things that God is trying to build into our life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. See, if we don't have any of that fruit in our life, you know what it's telling us? It's telling us what kind of branch we are. But if God is doing things in our life and we're seeing God move and we're seeing changes in our life and I feel like I'm getting close to him and God is actually working in my life, that's proof that you are abiding and being the type of branch that you should be. So the proof is your fruitfulness. Look at your life. And I'm not saying that to degrade us. I'm saying that to look at our life and say, hey, let's bear more fruit. Hey, let's be better Christians. Let's grow closer to God. But there is a negative here. The negative is the pulling of the branch. Look at the one that didn't bear fruit. That beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That means to remove. Now, that doesn't mean you're no longer a Christian. The Bible is abundantly clear that once you trust Jesus Christ, you are saved. And he said it was every branch that is in me. So that was a branch that was connected to him. But let me just say this. In your life, you can become a dead Christian. In a sense. In other words, the evidences in your life are going away. You're not producing fruit. God's not doing. By the way, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I hope you're there. I hope you want to be the kind of Christian where God's doing something in your life. You know, if we are set in our own way of just going and doing our own thing, God will let us do that. By the way, that is sad for a Christian. I don't know about you, but there is so much in this life that we face. I don't want to go through life alone, right? It's kind of like the prodigal son. He went to his dad and said, hey, I want my inheritance now. And the dad let him have it. It was the dad's prerogative. He didn't have to. And you know what? The son took off on his own and did his own thing. There was nothing the father could do. And the son paid the price for it, didn't he? He ended up in the pig pen. And his dad just let him go. Now, when he came back, thank God his father was waiting for him. But you know, I don't want to be the kind of Christian guy. You want to go do your own thing, you are on your own. That's very, very dangerous. One of the greatest judgments God could give us as Christians would be just to let us go our own way and do our own thing. Let me give you a verse in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? Boy, that just seemed like a good path. That just seemed like the good way to go. It's like, go your own way. But you know what? It always ends up in death. And that's, I think, what he's talking about here. But on the flip side, there's the good branch, and we see the purging of that branch. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Now, who the he? That's God the Father. You know what's a great thing? When you start growing as a Christian, and things are happening in your life, and you're being fruitful, God looks down and says, what can we clean and change about you so that you can produce even more fruit? That's what the word purge means. Purge means a cleansing. It may be cutting away some little twigs that are attached to you that are sucking off the life force so that that goes straight to you and you're producing more fruit. We're always going to be in a stage where God is trying to work on us. You see, the branch that doesn't bear fruit, God says, go away. I'm not involved. Go do what you want. But when we are involved with God and we're trying to go the right way, God goes, you know, there's some things in your life I think we ought to change so things get better. By the way, don't we want to get better? I mean, do we just want to be what we are and do what we're doing? No, God wants us to be better. God wants to bear more fruit. He wants to be more a part of our life. And so God brings things our way. It might be trials. It might be, and we'll see in a minute, he uses his word. It might be lessons he's trying to teach us so that we learn. But God wants to work in our life. Be afraid when God doesn't work in your life. Be afraid when you could read the Bible or hear the Bible preached and you never hear anything that makes you think, oh, I got to work on that. Because you're never going to get to perfection. God's constantly working on us. God wants to purge us. He cleanses us of all these entanglements which would hinder fruitfulness in our lives. Why does he do that? Because he wants to show us the prosperity of the branch, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, we should never be content with where we're at, right? Oh, you know what? I'm bearing a little bit of fruit here. God goes, you can bear more. Hey, this seems to be working pretty good. God goes, I can give you more. But we have to allow him to work on us. So we have to know the true vine, and we have to be a true branch. And lastly, and here's where it all takes place, we have to follow the true word. We have to follow the true word. It just seems, you say, Pastor Raj, it just seems like whenever we're, it always comes back to the Bible. Well, let me explain it this way. Yes, it does. That's the truth. Everything God wants us to know about him is in that word. Everything God wants us to know about the Christian life, it's in that word. Everything God wants to use to make us what he wants us to be, it's in that word. Verse 3, now ye are clean. Now the word clean is a word that's related to the word purge. It's a form of that word. He purges us, cleans us up through the word which I have spoken unto you. God wants to work. Look, get doctrinal here. When you got saved, God's Spirit started dwelling inside your life. Right? That's what the Bible says. The Spirit of God indwells you. Not so you do this goofy stuff like you see these people on television do. Okay? You know, they walk up on breathe on somebody and they fall down and they say, that's the Spirit. No, it's bad breath. Nothing to do with the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit spoke to me in this. No, he didn't speak. He speaks through his word. But the Spirit of God indwells you and he works in your life. And you know what he uses? He uses the word of God. No. I was in my room one day and I heard God's audible voice. No, you didn't. Everything God wants to say is right here. But I want to hear God speak. I want to have dreams. I want to have visions. Then eat before you go to bed. You'll have dreams. They won't come from God. God speaks through his word. And God wants to speak through us. And the Spirit of God works. The Spirit of God, it's able to clean us. Now ye are clean through the word. You know, I want to make changes in my life. You know how you make changes in your life? God uses his word. His word teaches us what is right, what we're supposed to be doing. The Spirit of God confirms with us that's what we're supposed to do. And then we set out to do it, and the Spirit of God helps us to do it because we're obeying the word. He cleans us up through his word. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can he clean up his life? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You say, I want to see changes in my life. I want to be this kind of Christian. I want to see God bear fruit. And he can't do it unless I deal with these things in my life. How can I do that? Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. It's a brand new Christian trying to serve God, knowing nothing of the Bible, never have gone to church in my life. I went two or three times before I got right with God as a 17, 18-year-old. And that was it. I had no clue as how Christianity worked. I started reading the Bible. Started listening to it preached. And I'm like, wow, I've never heard that before. You mean that's how a Christian is supposed to act? That's what a Christian is supposed to do. That's what God wants in my life. And I'm like, I'm in. But it was that book right there that taught me all of those things. And my life started to clean up. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Speaking of the church, but we're the members of the church. With the washing of water by the word. God's word has real cleansing, purging properties. I love the verse in James where it talks about being hearers of the word and not doers only. The verse before that says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, talking about in our life, and this little phrase, superfluity of naughtiness. That's what you tell your kids, right? Hey, quit being naughty. We'll say, what does that mean? That means overflowing of wickedness or sin in our life. The picture, those were words they would have used of a garden and weeds overtaking a garden. And he says, clean that up. Get those weeds out, that the overflowing of the things in your life that are going to keep you from being fruitful and being the right kind of Christian. And how do you do it? He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. See, God's word will clean up your life. You say, man, I need changes. My marriage isn't doing very well. My parenting isn't doing well. My life's not doing well. There's some things in my life that are out of control. I need to clean it up. I'm going to clean up my act. You can't clean it up yourself. But if you're saved and you will get in that book and you'll be committed to it, you'll be amazed what God will do in your life. You'll be amazed. But the problem is we disconnect. It condemns sin. It inspires us to be godly. It promotes us to grow. And it reveals God's power. How else does his word? It communicates to us. He says, the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, if Jesus is saying the word will cleanse us, and it's the word I've spoken unto you, what does that mean? That means you can understand it. See, too many people are like, I can't understand the Bible. There is a lot in there, amen? Okay, it's a big book. But can I just tell you something? Get in it. God will speak to you through his word. See, I just don't get it. You know, as you read it, God will speak to you. He can. You don't have to be don't tell me you can't learn. These guys, they have their sports teams, and it's like, hey, what about, they'll tell you their batting average, they'll tell me how many home runs, how many points, what place their team is in. They know all the stats, what their number was, what college they played for. Don't tell me we can't learn it. It's a matter of motivation. And when we're trying to learn it, God's right there helping us learn it. God's word can speak to you, but you got to let it. Now, let me ask you today, are you truly seeking to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you trying to be true? Now, no one's asking you to be perfect, but God just asks you to be true, to be genuine, to be the real deal. But we have to know the vine. We have to be committed to being the right kind of ranch, or branch, and we got to know the word of God. It's very simple. You know, I like simple things, right? I like, if something needs to be done, it's like, just let's list it out. What needs to be accomplished? Let's list it. When are we going to do it? How's it going to happen? Boom. It's very simple. It's our relationship with God and being committed to him and his word and letting him work in our life. Not that hard. But the problem is we usually disconnect at the front end. We really don't seek to have a relationship with him through his word. And I encourage us to do that today. Let's stand together.